My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mightily. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. She responds with worship. So the theme for today is worship fully. And I think Mary is proof to us that we can worship fully without understanding God and his ways fully. We can worship fully without understanding fully. How many people feel like you got this God thing completely figured out fully? You understand everything about God. The Trinity. Easy, that's 101 level stuff. Atonement, I totally get how everything works. Heaven and hell, everybody, nobody has any questions about any of this stuff, right? No, we don't understand everything about God, right? We don't understand everything about our own lives, right? Take the microscopic little portion of the universe that is our life. I don't understand a whole lot about that either, do I? You're looking, yeah, no, you don't, Pastor Andrew, you really don't. Yeah, so I want to look, because Christmas is such a huge concept and a huge idea, this Jesus is Savior of the world, which is true, but I want to look a little bit smaller scale today at Mary and use Mary as an inroads for us to look at at how Jesus comes to save each one of us. So I want to start with the words that she starts with. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. These are words of worship, right? My soul glorifies the Lord. These are songs that we would sing here in church. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. These are words of worship. Surrender, giving over to God what is God's, his glory. And it is connecting to God, right? My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It is like it's a very personal connection between God and God. But why is she worshiping? Why is she worshiping? This is why. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For he has been mindful, or he has seen the humble state of his servant. So God has been mindful. God has seen me. This is why Mary rejoices. It's easy to skip over that. It's easy to just kind of plow on through and keep reading, get to the exciting part of the prayer. My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. God, I worship you because you care about me. You have seen me. You have been mindful of me. You gave some sort of thought to me. Because obviously God has given a lot of thought to her. He has chosen her to give birth to the incarnate God. It's a pretty big deal in case you didn't know that. He has seen her, noticed her, been present to her. This is a desire. The desire to be seen that every one of us has needs throughout every stage of our lives. Little babies. We'll start there. That's usually how many of you started as a little baby? Okay. We all started as little babies. And so I have a baby who is not nearly as little as she used to be. She's almost 11 months old now. She's like, where did that year go? Don't know. Somewhere in the past, right? That's how time works. But a small baby, an infant, they have this wonderful need and desire to be seen. And it doesn't have to be a long time. But if they're looking at me and I'm not looking back, they will just continue to look at me until I make eye contact. And if I make eye contact, give a smile. Usually that's it. And then they're like, oh, satisfied? I'm going to go keep on playing now, right? You can sit in your high chair, and a little baby will just be like looking at you, and you give her one little smile, and it's like, oh, okay, you saw me. I can move on. I'm fulfilled for the next, 5 minutes. I can do whatever I need to do in my life, but I got that smile. One of my favorite things in the morning is grinding coffee. When I turn on the coffee grinder, usually Eloise is sitting in her high chair out in the kitchen. I turn that on, and, she's just like, and she looks for me. I'm standing over there. And then she's like the biggest smile you can ever imagine. And then I give her a big smile back. And then she's back to whatever she was doing. Until I hit the grinder again. And she looks at me again. It's fantastic. My kids, my boys in particular, ages 3, 6, and 8, I've gotten into skateboarding recently and scootering around. So we've been going to these skate parks. So I've been taking a lot of video of these kids skateboarding because just in case they get something right, I want to capture it because they're going to want to watch it over and over. They're just learning, most of the time it doesn't quite work how they hope it would, but in case it does, I'm taking a lot of video. But I was watching a video last night before bed that I took yesterday where I have the camera on one of my kids, and one of the other kids is like, Dad. And then I put the camera on him, and then the third kid is like, Dad. It wasn't quite so rhythmic, but every kid, as soon as the camera went on one of the other kids, was just clamoring for the attention. Dad. And all I have to do is watch them do one trick for 5 seconds, and guess what? They're back to playing on their own again. But please hear me. Please see me. please be near to me. Okay? And then as teenagers, we want to be seen. As you get older, as you're developing, you want people to really, because you feel like you don't understand yourself, your body, or what's going on in the world. If you see me, if you can see somebody going through that, really see them, they feel not quite so alone. And as we get older, we also need to be seen. Right? If you have little kids and people all see all your little kids and they're always like, what about me? I'm not asking you to see me right now, but this is it's very easy to feel left out and forgotten because you know everything about your life, your attention, everybody else's attention is on other people. And then one of the hardest things about getting old, from what I understand, of course I'm only starting that process, not very far along. That's an understatement, right?
Yeah.
Not very far along in that. But there is a certain loneliness that comes with when your friends and family and people start passing away and they don't see you anymore and you don't see them anymore and you just want to be seen. Like all those people that used to be able to see me are not there anymore. So at every stage of development in our lives, right, we have this innate need and desire to be seen. And Mary glorifies the Lord, gives praise, and her spirit cries out to God, for he has been mindful of me. He has seen me. The God of the universe has seen me. That is why she's compelled to worship. It's the simple assurance of being seen by God. Now, I'm going to throw this out here. Because there is a connection between being seen and worship. So, Mary is seen by God and worships God. Sometimes we worship the things and the people that give us attention and see us, even though those things or people are not God. Right? This can happen. I'll give teenagers as an example, but there's a dark underside to this connection because if you feel like nobody sees you, and one person does, gives you attention. Doesn't have to be a teenager, it could be anybody. One person gives you attention, it's pretty tempting to build your life around that person. And in effect, worship them. Long before you're ready for a relationship that is revolved, that would even approach the level of worship. But so often, young ladies, young men, find somebody who will give them a little bit of attention and absolutely worship them. And sometimes those relationships can be very damaging, very painful. We lose our identities because we worship the person who will give us a little bit of attention, who will see us. That's the dark underside. The good news of the passage is that there's not just one person in this world who sees us. The good news of Scripture is that the God of the universe, the benevolent, all-loving, all-knowing God, sees you and loves you. Every single one of you. He has been mindful, Mary says, of the humble state of his servant. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant, of my humble state, Mary says. He's been mindful of that. He's seen my humble state. This is good news. Because he still chose to be born to this woman who lives in this humble state. Right? Jesus is born to a woman who lives in a humble state. We do all sorts of things to be seen. We cultivate a certain kind of image. We read books, get smart to try to impress people. We cultivate a witty sense of humor. People will laugh at us and we'll feel validated. We cultivate all sorts of status, right? We do all sorts of things in order to be seen. God did not come to Mary and say, Greetings, you who are the best human on the planet. You're the prettiest. You're the smartest. No, did the angel say any of those things to her?
Mm-mm.
Greetings, you who are highly favored. God comes to her in her humble state. That doesn't mean she's not beautiful. That doesn't mean she's not smart. That doesn't mean she's not adequate. But it means that she doesn't have to be favored and loved and blessed by God. And just like that, you and I do not need to be perfect, smart, witty. We don't need any of those things in order to be accepted, loved, and seen by the God of the universe. Is that good news?
Yes.
He is mindful of our humble state. God calls her favored right in the midst of her humble state. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to be somebody else. I'm not going to make you something else even. I'm just giving you this gift. You are highly favored. And this lasts. This good news to Mary lasts. She says, from now on, all nations will call me blessed. That's true. I call Mary blessed, and I'm quite a few generations after her. If you go by the standard 40-year generation, it's been, man, 500, right? 500 generations?
No.
That's a lot. No. Okay. No. 50. 50
about
generations.
7 minutes.
I carry the zero over. 50 times 40. It's only 200. Yeah, it's 500. What's that? That was like a joke. He was making a face behind you. Yeah, sorry.
That's what I don't get. Just a little bit of a mind saying that we were going to the Outback.
Yeah, like, 500 generations. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know that yet.
Mm-hmm. No, 50. Oh. All right, we'll figure out the math. 50.
He comes on and asks.
That's great. Yes, 50 generations. Simple math. It's hard when you're preaching. All generations will see her, seen by God, and call her blessed. She's not blessed necessarily because she was the most wonderful person who ever lived. I don't know very much about her and her life, other than that she was favored by God. She was seen by God and looked upon favorably by God. And that was her great gift. Again, probably fantastic, probably a better person than I could even fathom if I ever got to know her. But again, 50 generations ago, it's a long time. But God being mindful, God showing mercy, is not exclusive to her and her generation. Because in verse 50, what does it say? His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. So God shows mercy and sees not just Mary, not just her and her generation, but all generations. Extend to those who fear him from generation to generation. The humble and the hungry will be lifted and filled. Right? He's brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God sees the lowly, God sees the humble, God sees the hungry in every generation, lifts them up, fills them up, offers sight to them, sees them, looks at them, and says, you are valued exactly as you are. He lifts up those who are downtrodden. He lifts up those who are in dire straits from generation to generation, God does not look at all the achievements and all the diplomas and all of the bank accounts. No, God sees people and offers favor to them. It's not about earning something, it's about humility. And it's about being seen by God. So the call today is to worship fully. Being human is so significant that God decides to, God becomes incarnate in Jesus. Being human, the very act of being human is so significant that God decided he needed to do it. I don't know if I've quite reckoned with this reality. Being human is such a special thing, such a unique, such a glorious thing, that the God of the universe, who created it all, decided, oh, you want to become that. God didn't say, oh, I'm going to become a tree, I'm going to become a rock, I want to become an anteater, I want to become a zebra. Of course, God's fingerprints are on all of these things, right? Because he created it all. But God actually says, I want to become a human. Take up flesh and actually become one of those. Then I'll be able to understand them, and they'll be able to understand me a little bit more. And man, I don't know about you, but it's a lot easier to connect with Jesus and the life that he lived here on earth than it is sometimes to connect with the God the Father of the Old Testament, who is not as incarnate, right? We have a lot of hard time understanding. It's not because it's a different God, but because when God takes on flesh, oh, I know what that looks like, because I have flesh. So when Jesus takes up residence in this world, that is what we receive. I think
computer?
Probably.
The computer?
That's right. What's that? Yes. Thank you. So, God sees us and sees the world. He saw Mary. He was mindful of Mary. And from generation to generation, he continues to see his people.
The heck? I can't misspell this.
He sees us. He sees the whole world. As I mentioned, and as you see on the wonderful colored graphic on the inside of your bulletin, the themes of the Advent conspiracy are to worship fully, to spend less, to give more, and to love all. We worship fully because we are seen by God. We lack nothing. So we don't need to spend, I'll just say, as much as we do. There's a lot of statistics out there on how many billions of dollars we're spending that many cannot afford at all, right? Just going into massive amounts of debt in order to achieve some sort of ideal of what a good Christmas is for a little kid. But God has seen us, and that's enough. We don't have to give perfect gifts. We don't have to receive perfect gifts. It doesn't define who we are. Being seen by God defines who we are. So it frees us to spend less. And spending less, of course, frees us to give more. And giving more can contribute to us loving all. God sees us, and that is good news. We don't have to strive. We don't have to achieve. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on a mask. We can be that humble servant in our lowly state, in our humble state, and God sees us. And when we come to the table, which is where we're headed now, I use those words from Luke chapter 24. The disciples, when they were at the table with Jesus, and Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and the words are that their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. So when we come to the table, May our eyes be open that we may recognize God, but may we also realize that He is looking at us. He sees us clearly, and He is inviting us to the table anyway. Right? Some of us have disqualified ourselves from being worthy of God. And God looks at it, and He says, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. Seen much worse. As a matter of fact, God has seen worse than every one of you. I hate to say, you're not the worst. The inner dialogue may sound like, oh, I'm the worst. No, I promise it's not true. Not even in the bottom 10%. Actually, I'm not keeping these records, God can tell you, but... God sees us and we see Him. So may we recognize Him and may we recognize that He sees us and He loves us exactly as we are. He embraces us. He loves us. He transforms us and gives us life. He gives us all good gifts. He gives Mary great gifts. He gives each one of us amazing gifts. And He starts by seeing, by being mindful of us. Let's pray. Gracious God, the God who is mindful of us, we thank You for being near to us and for seeing us. Thank You for delighting in us and offering us Your salvation and Your peace. It's in the strong name of the risen Jesus that we pray.